It's Monday, April 15th, 2024. Here's a little something that's coming up on the mayor's office.
But 72, the mantle, Derek Jeter jersey. It's really the Sean Casey hitting coach jersey, but I'm going to sign this bad boy.
Where are you going to sign it? Where are you going to
put it? I'm going to sign it right here, bro. Right here. Nice silver Sharpie, real nice. Maybe put the mayor here or something like that. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to look beautiful. Yeah. And it's for, if we can get the 4,000 subscribers on YouTube, right? Is that what it is?
I'm posting it every day.
And I'm in love with this good life. Can't give it up. Make it to the top. Keep climbing. I wanna live it up. The good life. I'm coming up. I'm coming up. The good life. Good life. Oh, good life. Good life. Good life. Good life. Good life.
Coming in hot, Chichi, on a Monday. What's up, brother?
What's up, bro? I'm feeling good, dude. I had a long, fun weekend, man. I was like a Mr. Met all weekend, dude. It was great. Saturday and Sunday, saw Docs. Ugh, it was beautiful.
Yeah, how was that?
Dude, like, grown men in tears, dude. It was
Doc
so good.
Doc Gooden got his number retired.
His speech was so beautiful. The greatest part is, like, he started talking. He's like, he wanted to come back to the Mets. He told this whole story. I want to come back. They didn't want me back. I want to come back. They didn't want me back. Then I went to the Yankees. And when he goes, I went to the Yankees, the whole stadium starts booing. And he was off the cuff. He was so cool because he goes, hold on, everybody. I'm a Met. I'm a Met for life. And I'll always be a Met. And that was it. Like,
wow, dude.
Bananas. And then
let's get the chills.
Oh, dude, the second chills is like, he goes, listen, I'm not mad that it didn't happen back then. He's like, because now my mind is right. My body's right. I'm in a great place. I'm in the best place of my life. And dude, grown men crying all like, it was beautiful. It was really great. Daryl Strawberry, a month after having heart surgery, surprised him. Really cool. Sheffield was there. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Beautiful. That's so cool. Dude, like I said, my one time being with Doc was in spring training 98. I lockered right next to him. It was my first big league camp. Indian. He could not have been, huh?
He was an Indian, right? Is that
he was an Indian? Yeah, with the Cleveland Indians. Yes. He was so stinking nice to me, dude. Seriously.
Yeah.
I just look, you know, you can only go by the way people treat you. You know, when somebody like, oh, this guy's this. I'm like, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. I go how people treat me. And yeah. Doc Gooden was so nice to me. And he's sweet to everybody, dude. Everybody loved Doc. You know what I mean? So like, you know, hey, listen, we all make mistakes. We all have things that happen off the field in our lives. There's ups and downs of life. And at the end of the day, man, his heart, his soul, he's a great person, man. He's an unbelievable. So I was thrilled to see. And you're right. The Mets, we all know Doc and Daryl from the Mets, 86 Mets. So grateful that that Gooden got his number retired. I'm happy for him and his family.
Me too. It was great. I'm so happy for him. I can't wait to see Strawberries too. It's great. Great stuff.
And dude, go back to Doc really quick. Doc, his that stuff when he came in 84, bro. That was different. His fastball, his 12-6 curveball. What was he, 19 years old? Just absolutely dominating people. But, you know, the Mets, 84, then they win it in 86. But like I said, Dwight Gooden is one of the best to ever play the game, dude. And I'm very grateful that number 16 will never be worn again. Yeah. The New York Mets.
God bless him. That's awesome. Great job by the front officer. First of all, that place is really great right now. It's being run really awesome. It's so cool seeing Jess at work. And
yeah, well, Jess is awesome. And Stevie Cohen's and all those guys brought a better vibe to the Mets now. You know, you feel like, oh, it's good to be a Mets fan, you know?
Yeah, it really is. And by the way, you say how nice Doc was. You get to meet Doc and you're like, there's some lines where they say never meet your heroes because you're going to get disappointed. But when you meet the people you admire and they're cool, there's not much cooler than that, dude. I got to meet a dude yesterday. His name is Adam Richman, right, dude?
Yeah.
If anybody that doesn't know who he is, look him up, but you'll remember him. You know who he is. He was the original Man vs. Food guy. And he cut
that dude, that show was incredible.
Yeah. I think he cut that out because his arteries were about to explode.
Yeah, he was like, he got bigger and bigger every show. Yeah. I'm like, all right, this guy's got to get away from those meatball subs out there in Milwaukee.
Yeah, exactly. But so not everybody knows about this one show. I'm going to tell you now, you and Sarah are going to love it. You got to watch it. It's called The Food That Built America. Yeah. It's this docuseries on a History Channel. And they started out, it was pretty good, but they made him, he's kind of the voice of the show. He kind of carries the show, but they have other guests. It's, dude, it is the greatest show.
Really?
People love and love it and learn so much. Like, what they do is like the cereal, the evolution of cereal, right?
Right.
So it's like Post comes out and Kellogg's come out, and it's the Kellogg guy versus the Post guy. And they do these little reenactments of how, like, who won the wars. It's like, you know, they got the Burger King McDonald's
thing. Yeah, that's cool.
Dude, it's a really great show. And I'm telling you, I met this guy. I have to shout him out because he was, I could not have walked away been like, wow, I really love that guy. I think he's really talented. And he was the nicest dude in the world. I'm booking him, man. He's got,
how'd you run into him?
Well, he has, so what the Mets did this year, they have a whole bunch of new kiosks, new food, all this kind of stuff. So we met Ann Burrell, you know her, the Mohawk blonde chick that does Food Network?
I don't know her, no.
She was there. There's another, a lot of the Food Network people.
They were trying the food?
No, they made food for Citi Field. So,
oh, wow.
A lot of these Food Network celebrities have, like Ann Burrell, who's, you know, restaurateur and is all over the food. Yeah. She has a chicken parm sandwich shop at Citi Field. So I guess she goes, and you know, those guys are all pros. They go test out their own food and make sure it's,
that's cool.
Fans are like, yeah, it was cool. A lot of cool stuff happened yesterday. I missed a little baseball because I was at the game, but like, dude, that Yankee Guardians game yesterday was unbelievable.
Dude, what an incredible game. What an incredible game. And like back and forth. Judgy goes deep, hits a three-run bomb. Mm-hmm. There were so many things that happened. Volpe comes up with a huge hit to tie it in the ninth. Yeah. Two outs in the ninth. Hits that rocket to right center, which he's going to right center so well this year.
Yeah.
Rizzo comes up. Bam. He gets a two-run bullet. You know, that's a salvage day change. Whenever you go 0-for-4, you know this too. Mm-hmm. 0-for-4, you get that fifth at bat. You're like, oh, man, I don't want to be 0-for-5. But you get a knock driving a couple ribbies. You're like, salvage day. So,
yeah,
you know, Riz ended up driving in two runs there, which was huge. And then we talked about the other day, Josh Naylor, bro, this guy's legit. He had come up with a big hit earlier. And then they found a way to, you know, to score three in the ninth. Everyone kind of wants to get on Gleyber or the 10th. Right. Gleyber, the one ball is a rocket hit to him, dude. One hop shot. He kind of couldn't get a grip on it, threw it, just missed the guy at home. I think it tied the game at 7-7. Then Andrés Giménez, who's having a great year for the Guardians, ends up hitting that sac fly to win it 8-7. But, you know, at the end of the day, the Yankees had a great week, 4-2. You know what I mean? Took 2 out of 3 from the Marlins, 2 out of 3 from the Indians.
Guardians.
Just missed getting out of there with a sweep, but, you know.
Yeah. Guardians. You played for the Indians.
Did I say the Indians again?
Dude, they were the Cleveland Indians. You're not getting
Guardians. Well, we just said Indians with Dwight Gooden, so I got it in my head. Guardians, the Guardians, the Guardians, the Guardians, the Guardians.
Yeah. Whatever. It's fine. No harm, no foul. I got a couple questions coming out of that. First one is a silly one. Are you okay with the Nestor Cortez pitch? Are you okay with it?
Dude, I mean, the fact that he just knows it's not a balk, that's what I thought. I thought, man, he must know. You know, he brings his leg up, brings it back, then he throws the fake pitch, and then he throws the ball. It was just, I thought it was great, dude. Nestor.
Oh, it's great.
Nestor has that, you know, that personality. He's pretty funny.
Well, it's funny. Dan Plesac was on this morning, and I heard him say, he goes, you have no idea what kind of balance you need to be able to do that.
To do that.
Because you're on one leg. You're on one. Go stand on one leg.
Yeah.
Look in your mirror, fans, and try to do what he did. It's unbelievable. So all right, but that's the fun part. I wonder what you can't. First of all, I don't think there's a rule against it, because think about like some of the guys with herky jerky wind.
Yeah.
If it's just, you can't tell him he can't do it. He
didn't throw the ball.
It was so much fun. I love that stuff. Now, second question, a little more baseball-y. Dude, like you said, Anthony Rizzo is locked in. That's all anybody was talking about after the game with the Yankees. It stunk that they lost the game, but the Booney was talking about him. Judge was talking about him. Riz was talking about him, how locked in he is. He's hitting 100-mile-per-hour cutters, dude, the other way for big, big. Yeah. My question to you is, does Volpe keep the leadoff spot?
You said Rizzo's locked in. You're talking about Volpe's locked in.
Volpe, my bad. I said
yeah.
Volpe, does Volpe keep the leadoff spot when DJ comes back?
I think definitely, man. I mean, he's almost got a 500 on base. He's got more walks than strikeouts. He's hitting 380, you know, putting together good at bats too. The one thing about Volpe is, you know, last year, what's frustrating sometimes with a young kid, he'd get a hit maybe his first at bat, then be 1-for-4 with a couple punch outs. You're like, man, like the process has to be locked in. You got to learn to go one pitch at a time. I watch Volpe now. He's not satisfied with 1-for-2, 2-for-3. He wants 3-for-4. He wants 4-for-4. He wants 5-5. You can tell just by the quality of his at-bats. So having him in the leadoff spot change with him, those at-bats rolling over, get to that 5-6 at-bat at times. Dude, he's locked in. He's a different person this year, man. That year of experience last year helped him so much to know that he was a big leaguer and what adjustments he needed to make. And he's making them, man, because last year he was punching out a ton too. This year, I think he's punched out 9 times.
Yep. I mean, he's locked in. Boone said this specifically yesterday. He goes, not only is he hot, but he's had bad luck. Like,
yeah.
Games he's gone 0 for or 1 for where he's hitting bullets all over.
Missiles. Yeah. Hey, man, this guy, you know, Volpe in the minor leagues when he first got there was an elite hitter. All of a sudden, they try to get him to hit these home runs and be this 20 home run guy, which makes somebody he's not. And then, you know, he's back to really being who he is. So this guy can hit. He could always hit.
Yeah, he always could hit. Here's another guy who can hit. Props to we do the claps here for Andrew McCutchen, bro.
Got big cuts, 300. I was with Andrew McCutchen, bro, 2006 spring training. And there was an 18-year-old first round pick. I go, who's this kid hitting missiles in the outfield? Could run, wiry, skinny. Oh, that's Andrew McCutchen, first round pick of the Pirates. So I said, they gave him an invite to spring training. Here we are, dude, 300 home runs later.
Yeah, dude, I got a comp. Your statistical comp. I'm not going to say these two guys are the same guy, but you're going to kind of appreciate this, okay? As of today, so he's still playing. Career, I'm giving you a comp with a guy. His name is Del Murphy, okay?
Yeah.
Del Murphy played 18 years.
Yeah.
Andrew McCutchen is currently in his 16th year.
Yeah.
Okay, here, I'm going to go. Career, war, Murphy, 46.5. McCutchen, 48.5. At-bats. Murphy 79-60, McCutchen 74-61. Hits. Murphy 2,111, McCutchen 2,055. Homers, obviously Murphy 398. He wins that battle. McCutchen 300. Batting average, McCutchen's at 275. Murphy was 265. Runs, this is where it gets really cool. McCutchen 1,179, Murphy 1,197. RBIs. 1,049 for McCutchen, 1,266 for Murphy. So he's got the power stuff. But then we get to stolen bases, 161 for Murphy. McCutchen's got 217. Now, this is where it's really cool. On base, McCutchen, 369. Murphy, 346. Slugging, McCutchen, 465. Murphy, 469. OPS, McCutchen, 834. Murphy, 815. OPS plus, McCutchen, 128. And Murphy 121. And the same thing, kind of their careers, they both had like a 5-year window where you could argue that they were both
the best players in the game. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just thought Murphy, cool. 2 MVPs, Kutch 1 MVP, right?
Murphy, 2 MVPs, Kutch 1 MVP. Kutch finished in the top 5 in MVP 4 straight years, finished in the top 3 straight years. Murphy's stretch was a little longer. He was
and it's funny because people think Murphy's a Hall of Famer. Then if you throw Kutch's numbers in there, it's interesting.
Yeah, and if you look back at it, like Murphy came close to making it to the Hall a couple times.
Yeah.
And he still could get in on one of those things.
Yeah.
Road. And I wonder by the time McCutchen retires, because he doesn't look like he needs to retire right now. He's still pretty darn.
No, he looks good, dude.
Yeah. Let's say he plays a couple more years. I think hopefully, you know, you start seeing changes in the way people vote for those things and how they look at things. And if they start letting a guy like Murphy in,
right,
and plays another couple decent years where he doesn't really drop off,
yeah,
you could be looking at a potential Hall of Famer one day. I don't think he Definitely not ballot. Maybe not ninth ballot. Maybe on a veterans committee or whatever they do now.
No, you're right. You're right, man. You're right. Dude, I'm going to stay there for a second and pivot from what we were talking about. I was just downstairs working out in the tonal, and I moved the sauna this morning. My buddy Todd Anderson came over and moved the sauna with Ryan Johns, and thank God they were here. We incredible stuff. Those guys know what they're doing. We move it out. And so Ryan, my buddy Ryan Johns and I, we work out every, you know, 3-4 days a week. So we're downstairs, and I'm like, bro, we got like, it's like 10:30. We got 30 minutes. We can make it happen. I was like, I got this podcast. I got to get going. And John's like, I got calls to make. So we're about to rip this workout in. You know how just things start happening, dude? Like Jake called right when we were about to start this podcast. I get a FaceTime from Dunner, from Adam Dunn, right when I'm about to start, you know, fit. I got to get this lifted. I got 30 minutes. I'm like, I got to answer it. I haven't, you know, Dunner hasn't FaceTimed in a while. So, bro, answer the FaceTime. It's Dunner on a boat. He's on a boat and he's fishing. He fishes every day. And another person picks up the FaceTime call. It's Lance Berkman.
No way.
So Berkey's on the call. He's like, what's up, Case? We were just doing Sean Casey stories. We decided to call you. I'm like, what's up, Dunner? You know, we're going back and forth. So me and Lance start talking. And Andy Pettit and I last year, dude, when you know, we had, you know, him and Lance are like best friends. Hmm. They're neighbors. And we had some of the best Lance Berkman stories. I mean, you know, we had Berkey on. The guy's amazing. So we were talking, and I would say to those guys, I go, do you guys realize there's 800 big league home runs in that boat right now? Dunner hit 468. Berkey hit 340 or something like that. There's 800 homers, big league homers in that boat. And it just made me think, dude, and it kind of bothers me. I'm not going to lie to you. It bothers me. Lance Berkman's a Hall of Famer. Lance Berkman, dude, his numbers are like one of the best switch hitters. He was a switch hitter, bro. He's up there with Mantle and Chipper Jones. I think the only other guys around his numbers are Mantle, Chipper Jones, like Eddie Murray, some of the best switch hitters to ever play the game. He's got better numbers. Nothing against Edgar Martinez. He's got better numbers than Edgar Martinez. And, you know, Berkey played center field, played first base, one of the best guys in the game, never had a steroid allegation even remotely close to him. Probably, you know, had a donut and pizza allegation. That's about it. You know what I mean? But no steroid allegation. You know, this guy, Chinch, you know when you're playing with Hall of Famers. I know Bagwell and Biggio were there, at, you know, maybe towards the end of their careers, but Berkman was the guy you feared. Berkman was the best player in the game, was one of the best players in the game. Like, hands down, no doubt, won a championship with the Cardinals in 2011. Matt Holliday and his guys. Lance Berkman should be in Cooperstown, dude. The Veterans Committee, whoever, has to go back and look at the numbers and get this one right. You know, we were just talking about McCutchen and Murphy and those guys. But Lance Berkman is a Hall of Famer.
I like it.
Period. We're going to get Brian Kenny on this show, and we're going to just hound him about Lance Berkman and take a look at the numbers again. Put him right next to Edgar Martinez. Edgar Martinez was a DH. Lance Berkman played the field and was a switch hitter.
Mm-hmm. And climbed up that hill and made a catch. The most dangerous hill in history.
Over his head. Yeah.
Career 162 average, 293 batting average, 32 homers and 106 RBIs. That's his 162 game average.
Average. That's average. His average. Give me a couple of his biggest years. And remember, no steroids, not even close in that era.
Okay, there you go. It started, he really, well, first of all, he finished sixth in the rookie of the year, but 2001 at 25 years old, fifth in the MVP.
Yep. Okay.
How's 331 with 34,
yep,
126?
Yeah, is that good?
That's pretty good. MVP finished third in 2002, 292 with 42 bombs, led the league with 128 ribbies. Okay. Let me find another like huge one. Oh, here's a huge one, dude. 2006, which I cannot believe that. Oh, okay. Another third in the MVP. 2006, 315 with 45 and 136. Back that up the next year with 278, 34, 102. Year after that, led the league in doubles with 46. Also hit 312 with 29 and 106. I'm not even going through all the rest of the numbers kind of look like that.
But right, dude, he's got incredible numbers. So like, I don't know, man, he's the one guy. There's obviously a lot of guys, Mattingly, Will Clark, but Lance Berkman is a Hall of Famer.
I love it. I agree.
I am going to get on my soapbox and say that.
Let's do it. Let's get him in. I got one more season.
It's by like the Lance Berkman freaking tour, but get him into Cooperstown. Yeah.
What year did you, how old were you when you retired?
34.
Okay. In his age 35 season, he finished seventh in the MVP with the Cardinals, hit 301 with 31 and 94 at 35 years old with that handsome body.
There you go, dude. Exactly. Exactly. The Puma. The Puma. Yeah. And he stole bases.
He did steal bases.
He stole some bases.
He had 1 year with 18 bags.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He had stolen bases and yeah. A power hitter.
Bro, the guy's a Hall of Famer.
I like it. I like it. Okay. Yeah. All right. One more guy. Let's talk about guy. All right. Let's pretend this guy might be a future Hall of Famer as far as if he keeps this up. Michael Busch, bro.
Dude.
Cubbies. By the way, Cubs ranked. There's a power rankings out by CBS Sports. Everybody's got their own power rankings, but
right.
I'm on CBS just now. They have the Cubs ranked seventh in the power rankings right now. Dude, they're 9-6. You know, they're doing all right over there. And this guy is one of the keys. Busch is lighting it up, dude. He's got a 1.087 OPS at the moment.
Dude, I'm starting to think, honestly, I'm just saying, listen, we're throwing this out there. He was the number two prospect for the Dodgers when they traded him. It dominated the minor leagues, dude. Mm-hmm. You see a guy dominate the minors, do not trade that guy. So they traded him. I mean, obviously, what was the trade? It was Cubs received Michael Busch and Yency Almonte. The Dodgers received left-handed pitcher Jackson Ferris, who's the Cubs' number eight prospect, and Zaire Hope. But, dude, here's the point. Remember when the Dodgers used to have Yordan Alvarez?
Yes, yes.
Look at Michael Busch's swing and how this guy has hit five home runs in the last five games, I believe, or 4-4, something like that. Dude, this guy rakes, mm-hmm. and he's always raked. I have a feeling this is going to be an absolute steal for the Cubs with Michael Busch. This guy has a chance to be a star in this league. I really believe that with his swing and his track record.
Dude, I like that pull when you said that earlier today. I mean, before we came on, he's legit, dude. Hey, oh, by the way, another youngster who's pretty legit we're going to have on tomorrow, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes. Bryce Terang, who's leading the league in stolen bases. He's fifth in batting average, and he's a great, 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 great young player for the Milwaukee Brewers. He's coming on into the mayor's office tomorrow. Can't wait to talk to him, man. His dad played a little bit in the big leagues. I believe like his uncle was or his cousin or somebody's a punter for the Commanders or something. So
there you go. And by the way, in this power rankings, they're ranked number four right now. By the way, they're 10-4. These dudes.
Yeah, they're playing well.
Can I rip you the top 10 of these power rankings and you tell me like it or not?
Go ahead.
The CBS Sports line. Through them and you pick some. They got the Yankees 1 as well. They should 12-4 record.
Yeah.
The Bravos 2, Dodgers 3, Brewers 4, Bucks 5. How about
Bucks? The Bucks?
Let's go. Orioles 6. Oh my God. Bucks and Orioles 5-6.
It's like, hey, stop right there.
1993.
Congrats to Jackson Holiday. First big league hit yesterday. Let's go.
There you go. There you go.
What are you swinging, brother? First of many.
There you go. Oh, by the way, his dad and Cal are out there, and they're wearing Kelsey.
So cool. So cool.
Here's number. Oh, I almost started crying there, too. It's okay to cry as a man.
We're allowed to cry.
8 is Guardians right now. 9, Royals. Took a little beating from the Mets yesterday. Good pitch.
Yeah.
And then 10, they have the Rangers right now. The Rangers are scuffling a little bit.
They got slapped around by the Astros, slapped them around a little bit.
Astros.
Altuve got hot. It's getting hot.
Big weekend for the Astros, right? Yeah. We actually went away on Friday, and I think my last question to you was,
Are
we worried about the Astros? We were.
Now we're not. Now we're not.
It's called the BS of broadcasting, right?
Exactly. Exactly. We're just trying to get some information out there, you know?
Yeah. All right. Awesome. Hey, one last thing. I see something. I see the everyday PC21 jersey back there.
You see it, baby? Right there.
21. 70. What is that? Yeah.
Oh, the everyday Casey jersey and the 72.
Bring it up here. Bring it over here a little. This is what we're getting, fans. This is what you're getting over here. Look at that.
Here it is, baby. 19. I mean, not 19. Not 19, but 72. The mantle, Derek Jeter, jersey. It's really the Sean Casey hitting coach jersey, but I'm going to sign this bad boy.
Where are you going to sign it? Where are you going to
put it? I'm going to sign it right here, bro. Right here. Nice silver Sharpie, real nice. Maybe put the mayor here or something like that. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to look beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's for, if we can get the 4,000 subscribers on YouTube, right? Is that what it is?
I'm posting it every day. If you're just a listener, that's fine. I understand. People are on the road. You can't watch all the time. You're missing out a little bit on a video, but I keep putting it. If you're listening to the thing, click our YouTube page in your audio podcast thing and subscribe to the mayor's office on YouTube, and you can win this with Sean.
This bad boy. Listen, this is rare right here. This is rarefied air. No one has a Sean Casey hitting coach shirt, okay? So
you
get on it. Get on it. Subscribe. Download. We need when we get to 4,000, this puppy's going out to one lucky fan out there. Signed, sealed, delivered, Chinch.
Nice, brother. All right. Get after it today, man.
Have a great rest of the day. Stu, have a great day. Thanks, everybody out there, for listening. Subscribe, download. Get this jersey in your hands, in your house, if you can. Chinchy, love you, brother. See you tomorrow.
Perfect.